Mark Tracy is a college sports reporter for the New York Times. Mark Tracy joins Michael Trakos and myself on the Jeff Blair Show. Mark, thank you so much for joining us to discuss this, your article on the New York Times. So is this like a... Is this a sign that the NCAA is that there's this sort of magical enlightenment now enveloping the NCAA? Not really, right?
Not really. I would say the better sign of magical enlightenment actually came in the kind of between the lines and kind of the asides in the Rice Commission report from a few months ago. This was the commission led by Condoleezza Rice that made the recommendations that led to the new rules yesterday. And in that, and also in subsequent interviews with media, including myself, Condoleezza Rice herself said, you know, we didn't recommend, you know, changing the way players are compensated because of pending litigation. You know, there's various antitrust cases, although they really could have if they had truly wanted to. And secondly, said, you know, maybe they should change that. So I think what we saw today was much more incremental rather than magical enlightenment.
Is the big thing, Mark, that we might see a bit more transparency here? And after all the scandals and everything and the corruption, is that something that... maybe we should start taking away from this, is that we're moving a little bit more towards that?
We are moving in that direction. You know, we'll learn, we'll have better access to where coaches get their money, where perhaps AAU coaches get their money, instead of, you know, prospects dealing in the dark with various middlemen. We'll probably have more transparency in terms of employing agents. But more to the point, yeah, I mean, we're moving slowly, and I mean, this has been the pattern of the NCAA. I've been on the college sports beat for a little over 4 years, and the very clear pattern is outsiders advocate kind of fundamental changes to the model of amateurism, and what the NCAA does is, in reaction to various crises, it stops well short of fundamental reform, but rather makes incremental reforms that usually are enough to, you know, head off the main criticism without actually giving in on fundamental reform, but at the same time, actually genuinely moving in player-friendly directions.
You know, the fact that we've seen such high-profile incidents, involving people, Rick Pitino, people, some big-name coaches. It seems to me, from a distance, Mark, that almost, you know, we've seen more athlete activism in amongst college athletes when it comes to, you know, their own lives, maybe pay for play, things of that nature. It almost seems as if the more we see and hear stuff about the coaches and the middlemen, the more that works in the athlete's favor, because it just sort of piles on. And at some point, you've got to talk yourself into knots holding firm to the idea that college athletes shouldn't get paid when all this money's going to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, but they are holding firm to that. Like, mm-hmm. that's what they do, right? It's almost like if they didn't do that, they wouldn't be who they are. You know, it's kind of like part of their raison d'etre. Like, it's, you know, the NCAA and amateurism are almost, I mean, you know, it's someday maybe this will not be true, but like as of now, it's almost like the reason it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Not the only reason it exists. Obviously, there are certain things it does that, you know, it's a sports governing body, but like I think the amateurism thing is very closely tied to its fundamental identity.
Is there some eye rolling then with the of these?
I'm sorry.
Is there some eye rolling from you in wake of this?
Not necessarily. I mean, that is kind of where they are. I mean, like that is who they are, and like, you know, I've definitely come into contact, just as I've come into contact with advocates of completely upending the status quo and turning to something of a free market for athletes. You know, and they're very sincere. I've also met, you know, advocates for the collegiate model, as it's called, you know, athletic directors especially, who actually are sincere about it. A lot of them are former college athletes, and they genuinely, now they are of a different generation, and I wonder if that's something, and as a new generation starts to come to power in college sports, I wonder if that will also see further change. But I mean, I think there's sincerity there. I don't think it's disingenuous. I also think that if you look at even the statements of like Mark Emmert, you'll see him. Now, maybe this is as much, you know, out of contingency as of fundamental belief, but I mean, you'll see him say things like, you know, I remember distinctly when Todd Gurley, back when he was at Georgia, was suspended a few games after signed merchandise of his that he had sold was revealed. You know, Emmer basically said, like, look, and there's the quotes out there, you know, look, like, the rule we have is that you can't do this, and so we applied the rules. I think it would make sense to change that rule, but it's not really up to me. And there's a little bit of passing the buck there because, you know, it's a membership association. The president doesn't, you know, make rules. But on the other hand, the president does have power. And if Mark Emmert had really wanted to change that rule desperately, maybe he could have, like, convened it and made it a big issue, used his bully pulpit, as it were. But, you know, I think you'll if you look closely, you will see them being a little more realistic about where things are headed.
In conversation with Mark Tracy of the New York Times. So the one-and-done rule, you know, the requirement that NBA draftees be 19 or a year out of high school, that's been in effect, what, since 2005 or 2006?
I believe it's 2006, but it could be some 1 year off on that.
So that is, I mean, before that gets changed, which I think is especially to basketball fans, to NBA fans, would be the most interesting one. That has to be handled. That's a CBA issue for the NBA.
That's a CBA issue completely, yeah.
Okay. What are the pros and cons of that?
Of the rule itself?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you ask NBA teams, they'd say a pro is that they don't have to deal with evaluating high school prospects, which, you know, is more complicated, more money, riskier, which is why they instituted the rule in the first place. I remember David Stern, who was the commissioner at the time, saying it was a business decision. You know, from the NBA's perspectives, the cons to the current rule, you know, I don't think it's a terrible rule from the NBA's perspective. I think to the extent that the NBA is selling not just itself, but selling basketball writ large, you know, and then when you get to the fact that one and done kind of corrupts the college game or is seen to corrupt the college game, you know, then maybe from a branding perspective. And then there's also an interesting dynamic here because the NBA is clearly beefing up the Development League, now known as the G League, I believe, because G stands for Gatorade, and Gatorade paid money to have it be called the G League, I think. But, you know, they're raising salaries. They're still low, but they're higher, obviously, than a college salary because there isn't a college salary. And, you know, we're going to start to see people take that route, prospects, that is, take that route. I don't know how eliminating one and done will affect that. I don't think anyone truly knows. We're going to have to see it play out. So, but in terms of cons of the rule, it's increasingly unsustainable for what is still its primary farm system, a farm system that, by the way, it pays no money for. So it's kind of getting a good deal out of that. So it seems like the NBA and the Players Union are likely going to move forward on doing that, but probably not till 2020. Mm.
And at the end of the day, I think GMs just want to make fewer and fewer mistakes too, right? Like, so,
right, because that's how you get fired.
Yeah, and there's a handful of players who are obviously NBA ready and ready to make a huge impact. And it's not just the NBA. The NHL is also contemplating going a year older with their draft. Mm-hmm. And it's the same reason. Like, there's the Connor McDavids out there, and there's the superstars out there that obviously are ready, but it seems like the rule is made for them rather than they be the exception. And
Right, and you know that thing, bad cases make bad law.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it does make a lot of sense. And I guess for the collegiate team, yeah, you get another free year of service and you can build kind of a program around that.
As much as you can.
Right.
Mark, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.